So we're going to talk about the idea of supplication. So here's my premise. Here's my feeling. We are invited to supplicate, to go to the Father. What I want to develop with each of you this morning is, I think that inherently there's a distrust of the Father, of God the Father. And I want to try to develop that within you, within your own heart. Here's why. I think that we don't go to the Father, God the Father, okay, because for a variety of reasons. And so therefore, that's why I don't call out. Father Swink made the suggestion last night that it's the wound of sin that is limiting our faith. I'm going to go one step further back. We don't call out for mercy, which is the bridge to faith. So faith, but the bridge to that is mercy. Because below the primary step, if you will, the seed base, is because honestly, we're not sure of the Father's reaction. And I can give you a natural commentary. Let's say you're my daughter and you're hungry and you just get the sense that you're just a pain in the neck, either from me, my attitude, my disposition, my character, whatever it is, things you saw me do, again, start to think, things you saw me do to your older brother or your older sister. And you say, how in the world can I trust my Father? I'm hungry. I want a sandwich. And you're just not sure. So you'd rather just go hungry, tighten up the belt. My belief is that it's because there's a subtle voice of the false father that has penetrated the heart, the human heart. There's a subtle false voice. And many women, many men, do not discern the difference. They can't. Because the false voice is constantly in your head. Okay, do you get this so far? Okay, so this is the wound in the heart. This is not a commentary per se about your father. I'm not commenting per se on that. I'm commenting on the concept of fatherhood in the supernatural sense. And I think that this is where, if you follow the spiritual logic, that okay, I can't call out to my father, so I'm going to call out for food from somebody else. And that food from somebody else could be poisonous. My boyfriend, my clothing, my vanity. Like you just end up eating vanity. And it just flows through you like a sandwich. It goes through and through and through, and it just creates this insatiableness. Insatiable. And so really the woman who is always shopping or always screaming or always seeking, maybe in your youth you're always seeking a boyfriend or impurity, I propose to you that it's actually not such a wound of lust. Let's go a little deeper. I don't propose to you it's a wound of lust. I propose to you that it's a wound of love. It's a wound of love. Okay? My justification for that would be Mary Magdalene. She ran around the city streets with her little black book hooking up with boys. But then what happened is she met love, and then she began to consume love. Okay, she began to consume it. And this is not just applicable to women, it's applicable to men. Okay? It's just a quasi-different physical expression, but I propose that it's not really that much of a difference. It's just the same wound. So let's sort of just chart this through. How do you want to hear this talk? Well, I think you want to examine what don't you like what I'm saying and what do you like? What says to you, dang, I think he's speaking to me. Or the other side is, that makes me angry. This is ridiculous. Or this has no echo in my heart. Even the no echo might be a commentary of you just closing the windows. Say, I'm not listening to this. This is foolishness. Okay? Well, in that, ladies, in that, the lying father, we'll call him the lying father, not the father of truth, but the lying father is actually saying, don't listen to this. I have a much more tasty sugar cube than this sour message that father is delivering. Okay? One more step, stay with me, is that if we have the lying father, the father of truth, okay, what's happened in the church is now we have spiritual fathers, we call them Father Dan, Father Swink, and now what's happening is many cannot trust the spiritual fathers because you don't know what message I'm giving. And so that reverts you back to the lying father. Because I'm supposed to be a father that points to the Father in heaven. And what happens is, because of the wound in the church, in the priesthood, I end up reverting you back to lying father. And I take on more of a semblance of the father of lies than I do on the father of transparency, which is love. Are you with me? Okay, so I'm not a window to the Father. I'm not a window, which I'm supposed to be. You're supposed to somewhere look at me and say, that's the Father of love. It's a little hard to imagine, not just because of sinfulness in every priest, that's not the point, but I'm saying it just creates, I don't trust. And I think this is why, ladies, if you really think about it, confession is not useful. It's not enjoyable. What do I mean? Well, if I'm supposed to be a spiritual doctor of the soul, okay? Like, imagine I'm your medical doctor and you have cancer. And for whatever reason, you don't want to come to me. But I'm the doctor that knows you the best. I know your body. I've given you 1,000 exams, and I'm a pretty good medical, biological doctor. I know the stuff, veins, arteries, and all that jazz. But you would rather die in cancer than come to your medical doctor. And it's a commentary about your lack of trust in me, or my failure to love you, or my failure to give you the prescribed medicine. Do you follow me? It's the same thing biologically as it is supernaturally, folks. It's the same thing. Okay? I gave you bad medicine. I give you placebos, right? Father, I got cancer. It's like, well, take this. But it's just a placebo. It's just a fake, right? And I never dig in and I'm like, give me this scalpel. We're cutting their liver out here because that's the cause of the cancer. I'm like, okay, well, it's going to be okay, but you're dying. Okay, I can't. That's where the wound is. That's the wound. And so I think that's why we're going into the talk within the next half hour. But that's why, this is why, folks, people don't call out to the Father. They know they have cancer. How do you know you have cancer? Whether you agree with me theologically or not, the fruit of cancer is unhappiness. You know this. You know that you're supernaturally unhappy. Again, it's supernaturally. You don't have the gift of joy. And you say, well, it's a tough time and there's COVID. It's not because of COVID that you're unhappy. That's an influence. That's not the cause. That's a contributing factor to elevating unhappiness. Okay? But please don't point to COVID within the last 18 months and say, well, that's why I've been unhappy the last 25 years. That's irrational. Do you know what I mean? That's why in high school I was making out with every boy. It's like, well, that's 20 years ago. But I was preparing for COVID. I wanted to get all my sins out before COVID arrived. Come on, you know, like it's just, that's not why you smooched 100 boys. It's just not. And it's not why you chuck plates. It's not. It's because deeply in the heart of all of people is this failure to trust the Father. And so this is why you don't call out for mercy. And this is why when you turn to the Father, and the scripture says, ask, seek, and knock, and you can't even ask for yourself because you are such a stinking burden. How dare you ask for something? You are just being selfish. You're just being selfish. And so you have this emotional, theological image of the Father that says, I can't ask my Father for a sandwich or a grace or a healing or a liberation. Or if you do ask and God bestows a blessing, you know, you have to do 900 novenas of gratitude because you don't believe that the Father hears you in your act of thanksgiving. And so you say, thank you, thank you, thank you, which has a foundational importance. You have to say, thank you. I get that. Okay, that's part of our mission in gratitude with the Eucharist. It's thanksgiving. But it's almost as if you don't believe your act of thanksgiving, the Father believes. Okay, I can give you an example. I helped a guy through the booze one time. I was helping him. He was giving up the sauce. And he must have said to me, thank you, about seven times before the end of the meeting. Thank you, Father. Thank you so much. And after about the third time, because I was in that cycle myself as a child of an alcoholic, I finally said to him, I'm like, look, man, I understand. Thank you. Stop repeating. What is it in you that makes you believe that I don't believe in your thanksgiving? There's something there. It's not me. I have two ears. I heard him. But if we find ourselves constantly, thank you, thank you, thank you, which is good, but if it's rooted in a wound or a fear or an inadequacy, then what you end up doing is, okay, you know, I received a blessing today. Well, I've got to go out and give two blessings. That's fine if it's rooted in love. But if it's rooted in insecurity, it becomes an insatiable insecurity. It becomes where you get to the point where I can never enjoy the blessing. I can never enjoy it. And that's certainly not what the Father wants. That's certainly not. So where does all this craziness begin? Let's just jump through the catechism a little bit, and then I'm going to give you some numbers. You can look them up later when you're at home. I find that that's pretty effective, is giving you some homework, okay? Which I know you love, okay? But it's okay, I'll be in Guatemala, so I don't care what you think. So let's understand, you're going to look at 356. Okay, and I'm just going to throw out numbers. And later on, next week, you just look at it. But so the first is catechism says that only man and woman, is able to know and love God. Only you and I are able to know and love God. Okay? And so we have this gift of reason that helps me realize I myself am not God. I am not God. I am dependent. That dependency can be a very scary encounter for you. I am dependent upon another. So God has made us, in effect, grafted us to the breast, to the heart. So you are perpetually at the heart. You can't detach. Okay? It's just not possible. Okay? But we also are afraid to become that dependent because we go into this mode where we say, now, what do I have to do to justify the blessing? Okay? When you find yourself constantly, what do I have to do? What do I have to do? I'm climbing the mountain. What do I have to do? It becomes something of a burden. It's not a joy. It isn't a mission. It's sort of an act of justification. Do you get that? Are you with me or no? Like, I gave you something and now you got to make something out of it. I understand. But if it's burdensome, you're tainting that, not the Father. You're tainting that. Because you think you always got to come to the Father like it's a potluck. Bring something. Really. And it can't ever be, you are good enough. And I'm not talking about just an emotional good enough. That's not what I'm suggesting. But there's an insecurity, right? To just being a daughter. There's just that deep voice that says, it's just not good enough. Okay? Look, I've lived this, so I get it. So I'm speaking also from my personal life, but also from the work I do now. And I'll weave that in because I'm confronted with tons of high schoolers, basically, that's all they hear in their heart. And I'm not just talking about, like, bodily comparison, 3,500 girls in Chalco, and this one's taller, this one's shorter, this one's more shapely. That's not what I'm talking about, but it's the wound of many of them have experienced through fatherhood or violence, and really a very, very high percentage of sexual abuse, which is then the thief has broken into the girl. The thief has broken in through a private part, not just below, but it's even through the heart. Doesn't matter how the thief got in, what part was touched per se, it doesn't matter. She now experiences fear of an older fatherly image. Okay? And so God has made us male and female to know him and to love him. Okay? And in that regard, ladies, what happened is he places us in the perfect situation, which is, let's just say, the garden. But there's this wound in us that says, I've got to be like God. I've got to be like him. And so we end up hiding from love. The wound of mercy doesn't begin when you fall. The wound of mercy began when Adam and Eve hid behind the tree. That's when people stopped trusting mercy. That's when. It's not when you had your first mortal sin. That's not it. You were born in the world with this, I've got to hide behind the tree. And Adam and Eve, the scripture says very clearly that they grabbed, you know, a few leaves and pine cones and covered themselves, right? What does the human person constantly do supernaturally? What do? You constantly cover the wound with something else. I've got this deep wound, so I'm just going to stand in front of God with a purse and cover the wound. I'm just going to cover it with a rosary around my neck. It doesn't matter. It's all just an insecurity to trust the Father. And so, because the only time you can really be in front of the Father is at least in perfection. You can't be in front of the Father, God the Father, with very deep wounds. And so I'm inviting you to begin to think, okay, so when you recognize that, yes, I was born with this, okay, it flows all the way through supernaturally, through the human hearts, from Adam and Eve all the way down to you. Because our first response is, what are we going to do? We're going to hide. We will hide from the Father. How can that be, since He made us to know Him and love Him? And so this is where I transition to say to you, it's because I think prior to baptism, you already heard the voice of the lying Father. The voice of the lying Father that says, hide. Do not trust your heavenly Father. And so then you are baptized and you are filled with grace, but you've already had a supernatural experience. You've already had that wound that says, yes, you are a child of God. But so many people do not believe it. You come out of the baptismal water as a shiny little baby Jesus, exteriorly different as a woman. Who cares? It's all insignificant. You are conformed to Christ. So you are conformed. So you're starting to be regenerated as a little baby Jesus. But you have a different body. It's insignificant, really. But it's because that you had this genetic wound in your creation. You lived at least 9 months listening to the father of lies in your mother. Not from your mother, but because your mother was also a wound, you heard prior to baptism, you have this sinful life. You are a wounded, and do not trust the Father. Do not trust the Father. Are you with me? Because why do we not trust the Father? Why? You can say, well, my dad died, or he was a bully, or Uncle Pete was gross. Okay, that's all fine. But that happened after. And if you're really honest with yourself, you know that there's something much deeper in the wound of the Father, the imagery of the Father, than the fact that Uncle Pete was creepy. We know that. So where does this start? And I'm proposing that you begin to think, dang, I had 9 months in my mother, and it's not about your mother, but that's where you heard, do not trust the Father. Somewhere along the line, you got baptized, and you came out as a child filled with faith, hope, love, sanctifying grace, which is significant. But in your heart, you say, why don't I trust my Father? Why don't I trust my Heavenly Father? And then something triggers, and it can be anything. And again, it's not a commentary about mom and dad and the cat. It's this: booze, violence, you go down the path of some sinfulness. Fine. Okay, that's not why we don't trust the Father. That was already there. It's the same reason why we don't like going to the doctor, right? Think about it. Okay, my doctor goes to my parish. Ooh, I don't want to be there because he's thinking about me having given me an exam. I understand that. We apply that same concept to the Father. I will not expose myself to the Father. I will not expose myself. Because you don't believe what the Father will do. And so how in the world am I supposed to supplicate, call out to God? It doesn't exist. And so we hide behind the tree. So what's the name of the tree in your life? I want you to spend time praying about the tree that you hide behind in life. It can be your cell phone. It can be your vanity. It can be your body. Whatever. It can be your intelligence, all of which is a gift. All of which is a gift. But you use that as an expression to hide behind God. Excuse me, to hide from God. Excuse me. And everybody can say, yeah, well, I was sick, or my family had trouble, or we were poor. That's okay, but that's not the reason. And you know it. You know it. Because even when that is liberated in life, so you were born poor, but now you are financially blessed, okay? That's because you are incapable of turning that up and being liberated from that doubt. And so we then hide behind this tree throughout life, covering ourselves. And because of the fruit of that hiding and the wound, God, in justice, says, this is the consequences of your decision. This is the consequences. Expressing consequences, I drink, I get in a car accident, and I break my leg, and then I get mad at God. That's what we do to the Lord. Okay? Like, let's be honest. Right? I eat too much candy. I eat it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I develop diabetes, or I develop something else, and then I'm mad at God. Okay, well, it was your mouth. Like, just put down the candy. I'm not saying it's easy, but God is so good that He respects your choices. He respects the choices, even the rotten decisions that you make. Think about it. Okay? And so in effect, what the Lord does is we get to the reality of the fall, which then says, I cannot trust you, Father. This is all connected to the Mass. Here's why. The Mass is actually not an act of focus on Christ. It's actually an act of calling down the mercy of God the Father. It's not to Jesus. Priest in persona Christi, you, the body of Christ, Father Swink, priest in persona Christi, united together, it's supplicating, calling out to God the Father for mercy, for grace. So if you go deeper theologically, I think it's because to whom am I calling out to at the Mass? Even the end of the liturgy, at the end of the consecration, through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, Almighty Father, to the Father, forever and ever. Again, it's not a commentary about your father, although that will influence, or even your priests. What I'm saying is, you came into this encounter with the wound of listening to the lying father. This lying father says, you can only go to your father when you have it all together. When you got no zits. Right? And I'm surrounded by them in Chalco, all high school girls, right? They say, I cannot go to my father with crooked teeth and zits. I can only go when it's together, which is as foolish on a natural level, as going to your doctor when you're healthy. That's as foolish as it is. How you feeling, Father? Great. What are you doing today? Going to the doctor. You sick? Nope. Feel great. I mean, you'd be like, are you crazy? Like, you need a doctor, but not for your body. Like, why? But think in your heart. Well, I'll go to the doctor when I'm not wounded. And so what happens is, because I, as a priest, if I'm wounded, okay, and you bring your wounds, I'm going to put the wall up for you, because you're going to say, Father Dan, I got to show you my wounds. And I'm going to say, let's just have lunch. Because I can't handle your wounds. I don't want to see somebody I know suffering. You with me? So I don't want to hear your confession. I love you, which is emotional, but I don't want to help be an instrument of healing for you. So you go to me, the spiritual father, and like, I can't. Why can't I go to that place with you as a spiritual doctor? Because I can't go to my Father in heaven. So as a priest, I can't go back to my Father, because I only want to show him goodness and me in a cassock. And he said, well, you're a priest and you don't have to worry about that. And I'm going to veil my sins in just some gobbledygook explanation that even Jesus doesn't understand what I'm talking about, right? What was that sin, Father Dan? Oh, I've never heard of that because I don't even say it, okay? Because I don't want to hear myself say it. So here's what I'm saying. Because the wound is deep in the heart, priest or religious, and say, oh, yuck, you had pain? You had trauma? I don't like that. Okay, go to the chapel and pray a rosary. But Father, I needed you to go deeper. Like, You know, like, I've got a rosary in my hand. I know I can do that. And I'm proposing that you say, this is why when the conversation gets yucky with you and somebody else or one of your kids or whatever, you're like, oh, I'm going to shut this down and I just want to have a cupcake. A Georgetown cupcake, no? And so you don't become the instrument either. So I can't become the instrument because I never took it back to the Father and I don't trust. You come to your spiritual father and you say, hey, Father, I got a real spiritual cancer. And I'm like, yeah, but I love you too much. I don't want to hear about your cancer. Okay, well, here's a Band-Aid. And yeah, it's not that bad, even though you're completely unhappy. And I'm just going to make you smile and kind of pat you on the head and send you down the highway, as opposed to saying, give me the scalpel. This is coming out. And you might not like what I say or what happens, or you might not like the fact that you vomit. But at the end of the day, you're going to look back on the spiritual father and say, that guy cut out some nonsense out of my heart. And I will forever love him and trust him. But it won't be about him. It'll be about the healing that took place in him and then through him to you. And your response back is twofold. Number one is you then become a missionary of the Father's love. You become a missionary of the Father's love. Okay? Doesn't matter male or female, whatever. You become a missionary of God the Father's love. And that is the truth. That is the truth. The Father's love is always truth. It's never a lie. It's always truth. It has to be truth, because otherwise it doesn't come from the Father. And so this creates the culture of just passing down that lie from generation to generation to generation. You know this, ladies. Here's an example, and this is not a criticism, but like, you're really bad. You need to go see Father Dan for confession. I understand that, but that creates a culture of fear. My father is only there to castigate me, to scream and yell and bark and all that. And we know if that's how you grew up, if that's how you grew up, and it's not a commentary, it's just, I want you to be aware. We have to tell the truth. The truth is always effective, and it will be said in love. But it means, what is it that spoke to me that says, yeah, you need to go to the Father in shame, as opposed to going back to the Father in sickness and saying, I come back to the Father rooted in a desire to heal. You come in shame and you leave in shame. It's a lot of what I see these days, even prior. You come in shame and you leave in shame. And that's not what God wishes. Why would God have you just come in shame and leave in shame? And therefore, if that's the way that you encounter the Father, that's how you forgive other people. They walk away in shame. That's how they live. Okay, are you with me? And so, you know, the topic is supplication. Again, I'll go back to, I'm going to keep going, but the idea is, I don't think you speak to the Father because you're not sure he's going to say, well, I gave you a sandwich yesterday. Why do you need another sandwich? You're so needy. You're such a brat. And And yet at the same time, that creates, you are the burden. You are the burden. So therefore you have to keep going, going, going. Doing, doing, doing. And so number 396 of the Catechism said that we were made for friendship. But, and then it says, only in free submission to God. Only in submission. So not in slavery, but in submission. And you know that the two S's in your life are really slavery and submission. Right? Slavery and submission. And so what it is that when it's slavery, it's imperfect. It's an imperfect contrition. I'm afraid to go to hell, so I'm going to be a slave of fear. That's imperfect contrition. I got to go to confession because I don't want to go to hell. Okay, fine. But that's not perfect contrition. Perfect contrition is rooted in love. Imperfect is fear, perfect is love. Okay, this is how most people live with the Father. Imperfect. I'm a burden. I don't trust you. I don't think that you're gonna take care of me. And I got all that. It's really not the depth of the message. The message is, but where did it all start? It's deeper, folks. It's almost like you need to identify, yes, I was baptized, clothed in Christ, given faith, hope, and love, but I stinking don't trust. Why? Get there on this day. And don't use the fact that something happened when you were 20 or 40 or 80 or 100. It just doesn't matter. That's just a confirmation of why you don't trust. It could have been a triggering point. It could have been. Most of the time, I'm saying it's so much more profoundly rooted in the roots of the lack of trust. And so we don't submit to God freely. 397 says that tempted by the devil, we let our trust die. We let our trust in the Creator die. And this makes absolute sense because you have more trust in your friend or yourself or me than you do in God. You have more trust in your talent or your beauty or your whatever. That's all a lie. You're going to trust someone. You're going to trust something. Because it's natural. Okay? What did Adam and Eve do? They trusted the tree to hide, to protect them. Think about it. I'm going to trust this tree to hide from God. Again, I'm saying to you, You have to get to that place where you know what is it that you, who is it that you're trusting more than God? If you are honest with yourself, even during this retreat, and I know it's very short, you know, what you'll begin to realize is that thing that you're trusting or that person that you're trusting is the place that you've got to develop and look more deeply at understanding what is happening within you. So if you are trusting your talent or your vanity or even your woundedness, I'm going to trust my woundedness, my isolation, you then can get, that's the door to getting to the lie of the Father, the lying Father, that place right there. Do you get that? Yes or no? So you're like, I trust my vanity. I trust my body. Fine. What is it? Because the father of lies is telling you, trust your beauty. Trust your talent. And you see, obviously, okay, that that is setting you up for a massive wipeout. I trust my beauty. I trust my 22-year-old body. Fine, no problem. Yeah, well, when it's 82, you don't trust it because the parts are dropping out all over the highway. Everywhere you go, there's a part. Hey, there's a part. There's a part. Like, what's happening here? Right? And so we know this reality, right? And once you get above 50, like, you never walk by a bathroom, right? I mean, that's just out of charity. I know I'm not a woman. I've heard it 1,000 times, right? You don't understand what it's like to be pregnant. Okay, I've heard that 7,000 times, right? But when you're above 50 as a guy, you don't drive by a bathroom either, okay? And so what we do is we don't trust. And then the catechism says, then we abuse our freedom. Then we abuse the freedom. How? Because we start doing the things that actually self-destruct us. We're just grabbing for apples. And we don't trust in God's goodness. It's number 397. We don't trust. So we end up preferring ourselves, okay, over the Father. Think about it. If you don't trust the Father, you trust yourself. But you know you're a house built on sand. And so that's why when you wipe out and you make it, commit a sin or whatever, you fall, you just lose your marbles. You're like, ah. I'm like, relax, you're a sinner. I know, but I want to be perfect. Well, good luck. That's not the point. It's like, it's not even the point. You want to be perfectionistic. You don't want to be perfect. If you're losing your marbles over the wipeout, and I understand the consequence of sin, don't misunderstand me, but if you just become into the self-loathing act of when you wipe out, that's all perfectionism, because you can't get up and go back to the Father. You can't. You don't know how. Do you get that? Do you understand? Okay. And just last one, 398, and then I'll give you a break. So then we make the preference, I'll choose myself. And we become, in a way, like God. And so I will be the arbitrator of mercy. I will determine if you're forgivable. So you offend me, yeah, I might forgive you, but I might not. So I become godlike in my own estimation, in my own mind. Again, it's all burdening. It's all burdening. This journey with the Father is a burden. This journey with the Father is not overwhelming, but it's not light. Part of the work I do is, you know, when I have a lot of time in most of my day is spiritual direction, confession, masses, wherever I am, Boys Town, Girls Town. I travel, like after I split from here, I'll go to Guatemala, Honduras, and Brazil, and I'll get back. I go on Monday, and then I'll get back to Mexico about right before Christmas, just in time for the sisters to arrange a 5-day retreat for me after a 5-minute break, right? How charitable, right? And one of the things I've noticed is, yeah, it's great for me to have my game face on Sunday Mass, or daily Mass, but it's also more important for me to have my game face on when I'm running from building A to building B and I got to go to the bathroom and 3 kids want to go to confession, right? It was really funny. I was in Boys Town. It's different than Girls Town in the way, like, the girls are obviously a little bit more obedient, but the Boys Town, so I have adoration in 3 buildings, right? 6:40 p.m. in building 1, let's say, 6:50 and 7. And so I expose the Eucharist in the evening with the boys, and then I'm rolling out. And every building I transition to, I had a kid getting ready to jump me outside to go to confession. I mean, he was a big kid. He was like 3'4", right? Right? And so, you know, the only option is for me to do a walk-in confession because I'm late, right? And, you know, it's like sometimes it's impossible, like only the Holy Spirit. Because a boy crying with a mask on, walking, it's like there's just no chance that I understand a single word the kid is saying, right? So I put him in an arm lock in his head and we just walk. I mean, I don't get it all, but he seems to get it. And he says, "Thanks, Father." We go our different directions. He turns around and says, "Thanks, Father. God bless you." So he got it. He got it. My 3'4" guy gave me his blessing, right? But the point is that burden of interruption, you want to examine as well. Because that means you're not going light. You're not going lightly. Father Al talked a lot about going lightly, lightly. I mean, this cat, he was about 35, 40. He was going from the Philippines to Korea, taking over hospitals. You got to read Kevin's book. The guy was a lunatic. He takes over a hospital. He knows nothing about hospitals and nothing about tuberculosis. And he takes over tuberculosis hospitals. I mean, what the heck? And people lived. He's like, yeah, we have a simple philosophy. We baptize them. We give them food. We give them love. We give them minimum medications, and then they're all happy. I'm like, what in the world? And he kept doing it, and then he's building. I mean, who the heck does that stuff? He's a saint. But, you know, you have to read his life, and you just begin to look. You're like, what? This guy was fantastic, right? Just very smart, writing books at the same time. I don't know how he did it. And, but he always writes about going lightly, lightly, lightly. And you know when you got those Herman Munster boots on and you're like walking like a, you know, like the Tin Man, that's not life. That's not the way you're supposed to go through life, ladies. You don't go through with, you know, the kangaroo pouch of anger. You have to go through life lightly and think when you know. I'm not talking about stress stuff. I get that. I'm talking about the interior disposition. And we know it. Sometimes it's demonic, where the evil one is attacking. We know that. Desolation. But on the other side, it's an interior decision to go through life with cranky pants. And you think it's justified. It's not justified. You will never have that day of potential joy back. Okay? Think about it. A practical example is the sunflower. That was a big thing for Father Al. The sunflower that chooses to turn the other direction from the sun. The sun is to my left, and the woman going lightly turns and smiles at the sun through the sunflower. Okay? The cranky one, the one with the cranky pants, turns the other direction. Say, there's no sun out today. That's just a lie. That's just a lie. That's where the lying father is. That's an extension of the lie of the false father. Do you get that? Yes or no?
Yes.
And it's so small. And you're like, well, it's just my disposition. No, it's not. Because you're cognitively aware of it. You know that you're doing this. And I'm not talking about somebody died and you're sad, or it's the anniversary of a loved one. I'm not talking about that stuff. I'm talking about the active choice that you make, that you're just going to be isolatingly sad. Because the joy isn't in you. Joy is not there. And joy is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. So you can't go lightly. You just go like a monster. You can't do that. And I believe, really, it's because the father of lies is telling you, go in this manner. I am with you. It's a lie. It's a lie. Because the father of lies says, come on, let's go together. And as soon as you say, okay, let's go, as soon as you go, he accuses you of something. You are so insecure. You are so foolish. You are just not good enough. You know this. You know that this is happening. And so, again, it creates this culture within your heart that says, I can't trust the Father. He is not with me. But you've also, ladies, made a decision at times, not all the time, where you're going to say, I'm going to make this decision for sadness. I'm going to make this decision for isolation. Again, I'm not talking about something terrible happens or, you know, somebody dies in your life. I get that. I get that stuff. Those are situations. And so, last two points is, then we effectively do not enjoy the Father's love. Because I don't trust. You can examine. Do you think God the Father just wants to give you crosses or burdens? Or is he enjoying watching you suffer and struggle and wipe out? If that voice lives in you, that is a lie. You have to go there. You have to go there today and say, why do I believe that the Father of mercies, right, loves it when he sees his daughter, right, stinking up the place? Why do you believe that? And again, I'm going to tell you, I think it started before baptism and it was heard. It's the only, I mean, I might be theologically way off, I don't know. But it's the only reason why when I come out of the baptism of water, why don't I trust? Why do I open my arms, but then after a while I close them? It's because I have this concupiscence, this decision to sin. So why do I keep choosing myself when I'm the destructive voice? I'm destructive. I'm destroying me. And so, again, then I begin to trust myself over the Father. Or I even trust the lie of the Father, lying Father. Okay? So I want you to spend some time confronting what is it that you want to present to the Father, God the Father. What is it that you need to present as maybe you're the obedient one, maybe you're the perfect one, okay? But you want to get to that place where you're going to say, okay, now I understand. Now I understand what drives my perfectionism, not my desire for perfection, perfectionism. And you demonstrate that because it's never light. It's never joyful. Okay? 100 people go to confession to me. This is a classic example. Why didn't 103 go to confession? That's what I would hear for years. 700 masses said yesterday, why didn't you do 800? I get the desire I get the desire for zeal. I understand it. But there's no, it's not light. L-I-G-H-T. It's not liberating. And this becomes then how people go through life. It should not be that way. And this is not a disposition just of the rich, of the poor, of this is your character, you're melancholic, you're this. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a supernatural reality. And you can affect this if you choose. One thing you could consider doing today, I don't know if it would be to this extreme, you could consider confessing it to one of the priests, but don't drag it out. Don't take 2 days with it. Be like, yeah, for all the times I chose to be a brat, for all the times I chose to just be self-absorbed, okay? You got the pinprick, but your neighbor has got 700 bullet holes, and all you can talk about is your pinprick. Well, after a while, people stop hanging around with you because you've always got a pinprick. And it gets disgusting because people are sick of it. And we don't ever become an instrument. Part of the healing that you'll have to go through is letting the Father's love flow through you. That will heal you. You can't heal looking in the mirror. You can't spend your whole life looking in the supernatural mirror. Sometimes you just got to go out there and hand out the 5 loaves and 2 fish and wait for the Lord to give you a sandwich. And you can't spend the whole time just being like, wow, about me. It's about me. Everybody's had loss. Everybody's lost a loved one. You're not the only person in the world that's lost a spouse, that's lost a child, that's lost a mother or a father. You're not the only one that's been through trauma and pain, okay? But if that's how you feel, and everybody else is going through current wounds, how in the world can they communicate with you? And you use your suffering as an instrument of healing for them. Yeah, my cat died yesterday. And like, well, I had a cat 27 years ago and it died. And all of a sudden you just gobble up the conversation. There's people like that. And you wonder, why do you just keep repeating the record? Click, 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 click. And you're like, because you do not want to be free. You like the recycled wound. An example would be, yeah, you got in a car accident and the car got totaled. 10 years later, you still have the car phone, the picture of the car on your cell phone. Oh yeah, this is a picture of my car. Did you get in an accident yesterday? No, about 10 years ago. Why do you have that? I don't know, I just kind of like looking at it. I mean, it's so weird. But you think it's natural. It's actually burdening. Think about it, because it's a supernatural burden. Imagine if you kept a list of all your sins from 20 years ago, and every once in a while you pull them out, and you're like, oh, let's look at my sins from 20 years ago. I'm like, why didn't you throw that out? I don't know, I just like looking at it. You mean you like looking at the list of your mortal sins? Yeah, it's what people do. It's what people do constantly. And that's why they don't go lightly. This is why. You have got to evaluate that. Okay, so let's just try to enter into this moment, okay? God our Father, give us healing and hope and strength. Enlighten us to be present to the movement of the Holy Spirit, to uncover the father of lies that snuck into the womb of our mother and told us, do not trust your heavenly Father. Give us grace and give us hope. Settle our hearts as we enter into this retreat. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Our Lady, Virgin of the Poor,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Venerable Aloysius Schwartz,
pray for us.